Bruchim Aboim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Kairach and Be'ezus Hashem. We will say this year, L'zeicher Nishmas, L'nishmas, your dear parents, Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel. Be'ezus Hashem, may the Neshama Tyrus have a lichtige Gan Eden. We should all be inspired from this year, all the many that are gathered, not in the Heichel, but this week in Gan Ariel, the many listeners who are hearing it live, Be'ezus Hashem, and when it's sent out, let's use the Divrei Torah to make us, Be'ezus Hashem, better people, enhance our Shabbos Kodesh, and bring even more Kedusha to our lives. Really, really wonderful to have another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Kairach. So much to learn from Kairach and from this Parsha. We'll try to touch upon at least one topic. If a person takes a look in the beginning of the Parsha, when it speaks about Kairach and Rashi is explaining, I'm now in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Zayin. That means if you're looking inside, you should be looking at the Rashi, Tezayin, Zayin, Rav Lochem B'nei Levi. And Rashi is discussing what was it? Ma ra'a lishtus zeh. What was it that he saw? Kairach. What did he see that led him to do what he did? Obviously, the extraordinary rebellion of Kairach. Rashi tells us two words, Einai Hitatu. Einai Hitatu, Rashi tells us, his eye led him astray. It was his eye. In previous years, we mentioned part of this pshat, but with your permission, I want to add on to a number of parts to it. What does it mean, his eye led him astray? Many bring down the pshat. I saw it most recently from the Kuznets Magid. Listen to an extraordinary pshat from the Kuznets Magid. It's something we should all take to heart. The great Magid says that the Ribbono Shel Olam created us, Baruch Hashem, with two eyes. And besides the need to have those two eyes in a physical sense, we also have the two eyes for spiritual reasons. One eye is to always contemplate the greatness of your Creator, the greatness of Borei Olam. And the other eye is to contemplate your own insignificance. As we said 2 weeks ago, it doesn't mean to the point that you view yourself as nothing. That's what we said 2 weeks ago. Otherwise, the Torah would have been given on a flat land or in a valley, but instead it was given on a mountain, albeit a small one. But to know your proper place with Anivus. A Pikeach, a wise person, will properly use those two eyes spiritually. One, to always be aware of the awesomeness and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and simultaneously the other eye to remember their own insignificance. Unfortunately, what Rashi is telling us is that Kairach was an arrogant person. And when Rashi tells us the words, what was it that Kairach did that led him to this error? Rashi says, Einai Hitato, his eye led him astray. His eye led him to error. The Kuznets Magid says, what that means is that his eye that was supposed to focus on the insignificance of a person, his own insignificance, that did not accomplish its task. In other words, he recognized the greatness of Hashem, but through that he thought he was entitled to come closest to Hashem and that he should be in power and he should be the one. That means the spiritual defective eye is what led him astray. Which was the spiritual defective eye? The one that should have better concentrated on the insignificance of a person. Be makir your mokoy. Know who you are in the sense. You could achieve greatness, but also don't let it get to you. In other words, remain the humble person. Beautifully, Rav Meir Shapiro brings down Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader, the great Moshe Rabbeinu, like Kol Navi B'Yisrael K'Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet he remained, as we said 2 weeks ago in Shir, La'ish Moshe Adam La'ayim Mikol Adam. He remained the humblest of all people. That means he used both of his spiritual eyes exactly the way that they were intended to be used. On one hand, he used the eye to go ahead and achieve that closest to Hashem, recognizing the spiritual greatness and awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but simultaneously using the other eye for your own insignificance, remaining humble. And so therefore, Meir Shapiro says so beautifully, you take a look in Parshas, V'zayis HaBracha, before Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, the pasuk says, "Umoshe." This is in Vezayis Habracha, Lamed Dalid Zayin, Lamed Dalid pasuk Zayin. You can look at home. The pasuk says, "Umoshe ben Mei of Esrim Shana b'Moisai." He was 120 years old when he died, and the Torah says the next three words, "Loi Chohasa Einai." Loi Chohasa Einai means literally his eye had not diminished. But according to the Pshat of the Kushas from Magid, what does it mean? His eyes had not dimmed, and his eyes had not diminished at all. That means that although he went on to use that eye to contemplate the greatness and awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to get so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pel Daber, by the Snef, 40 days on Har Sinai, Arboim Yoim, Arboim Laila, the leader of Moshe Rabbeinu, yet the other eye, that's to recognize your insignificance, in other words, to know your place, to remain humble, the Pasuk is being made, he was 120 years old, and it could be said, Loi Chohasa Einai, that eye, that second eye, the one that should always contemplate your insignificance, i.e. your own place, that never, ever diminished or dimmed at all. Kairach did, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. And that's, I thought, a magnificent way to begin Parsha Insights, Parsha's Kairach. Let us take a look. How are we doing? Bezus Hashem, our two eyes should be used physically correctly, but spiritually, one to always contemplate the awesomeness and the closest we could achieve with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet simultaneously, like Moshe Rabbeinu, we should be zeichet to merit, not to let the other eye, the eye whose job is to remember your insignificance, i.e. to remain humble, which is really what we spoke out 2 weeks ago, to be an ish, but even amongst the other, we said that pshat very, very clearly, Baruch Hashem. The Torah is saying, whereas that eye is the one that led Korach astray, it was that eye that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the day the Torah said he was 120, was passing away, never dimmed, never diminished, meaning to say, La'ish Moshe Anam Ma'id, till the very, very end of his life. Obviously, we will never be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but in this lesson, to be able to utilize our two eyes in a spiritual way correctly, I think that's something we could take out of today's shiur. So let's try to give some practical examples how to achieve this, how to work on not making the mistake of Kairach, rather emulating the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu, that one eye should always be focused on the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, simultaneously not allowing it to get to us, meaning to remember our place, our insignificance, in the sense that we remain humble. On Shabbos, I mentioned the pshat from the Kli Yakar. It was actually a privilege you had brought the Kli Yakar to my attention. But at the end, the pshat is brought down one way regarding tzitzis. For those of you who heard me this past Shabbos, I used it in a different way, but I think it's very, very appropriate. Again, let's come up with some practical examples in Parsha Insights, Parsha's Kairach. How do you work on both eyes simultaneously? That although I'm accomplishing and although I'm becoming great, and I realize the significance of growing and getting closer to Hashem, but the more I achieve, how about this? The more humble you should become. So based on a Sefarno, excuse me, I apologize again, a Kli Yakar, I think we could say the following. The Kli Yakar actually brings it down in a very deep sense regarding why it is that when the world was created, the world kept expanding. I said the Shabbos until Hashem said, stop. Shamarti la'olam dai. That's where the Kli Yakar brings it up. But I'm not going to get into that part. I want to focus on one thing he says. Where does a person come from? We have a neshama and we have a guf. Where does it come from? Where does your neshama and where does your guf come from? So the Kli Yakar says so beautifully that your neshama comes from and emanates from, obviously everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the spark of your neshama comes from Shamayim. It comes from heaven. Certainly we could relate to that on some sense, some level. On the other hand, our body, our guf, that's composed of a mixture of both the Eretz and the Yam, the earth mixing with the water. So I'll repeat that again very quickly. our guf comes from the coming together and the mixture of Eretz and Yam, earth and the sea. Our neshama, on the other hand, comes from Shemayim, from heaven. So the Kli Yoker says so beautifully, how many times have we said over the last few weeks that while it's true, atem kruyim odom, everyone with or without accomplishment, with or without significance, everyone is called an odom, but our job is to achieve the higher level. Ish, remember we spoke about, we just did in the last few shiurim, the significance of becoming that ish, the person of meaning, the person of significance, the person of achievement, the person of accomplishment, not the odom, the ish. And what do we just say, Rabbi Yisrael? That a person is privileged that their guf comes from the earth and the sea, the Eretz and the Yam, whereas your neshama comes from the Shemayim. Meir v'Rabbeisai, whether you're listening in the Gan or you're listening live, we'll hear when it's sent out. What's the first letter of those three? Eretz is an Aleph, Yam is a Yud, Shemayim is a Shin. It spells the word Ish. Says the Kli Yoker, that's how, and this is my understanding of what the Kli Yoker is saying. Again, he brings it down, then he gave something else in Parshas Bereishis. I'm bringing it out this way. That's the way to become an Ish, to realize that you're good. That comes from Eretz and Yam, the Aleph and Yud, the land and the sea. The Shemayim, the Shin, that's where your Neshama comes from. And when all three of them come together and they're utilized correctly, you become the Ish, Aleph Yud Shin, Eretz, Yam, Shemayim. Now this is an avodah that takes a lifetime. Some days were better and some days not as good. Some days were fabulous. But as we've said countless times throughout the years, if you're not good one day, it doesn't mean it can't be better the next day. That's thinking like an Adam. We're here to think like an Ish. Eretz, Yam, Shemayim, the coming together of the soul and the body, the neshama and the guf. And when a person does that, they realize on one hand, wow, I could be an Ish, what I could accomplish. That's using one of the spiritual eyes correctly. But the other eye is to continuously contemplate, as it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Loi cho ha-so-eino. Do not let it get to you. Do not let it take you over. Remain with humility. It really is the mission of a lifetime. So I wanted to suggest the following, although as I mentioned, it is brought out slightly differently here. If you take a look, we spoke last week at the end of the parasha about the parasha of Tzitzis. And we asked the question, in fact, if you listened to last week's TMT, well, no, if you listened, as you know, many people responded to me, oh, what a wonderful answer from your daughter. Ah, what a cute answer from your daughter. Now, if you know what I'm talking about and you're smiling, that means you listen to TMT. And if you're staring at me, you're wondering either what is TMT, which you probably don't want to ask me after we've had it for about, 8, 9 years by now. And Baruch Hashem was a wonderful, wonderful story. You can easily get on the weekly TMT as well. Are we from Detroit on the weekly TMT? Not yet, you mean to say. There you go. But anyway, we discussed the idea you are. Half of Detroit is, and half apparently isn't. At least for those in Michigan who are in the Shia right now, or you could take that up with each other later. But the point is, when it comes to Tzitzis, the Gemara Menachos tells us that how does a person do it? They look at the Techeles of the Tzitzis, and that is to then remind them of the color of the Yam, which in turn reminds you of the Rakia, the Shemayim, which in turn reminds you of the Kisei HaKovet. And last week on TMT, we clearly asked, why all the steps? Why not just take that one quantum leap? So in TMT, we answered for Moshe, which we'll just repeat briefly, the very famous Yisoid, that in order for a person to become a better Basaliyah, to achieve greatness, it rarely works with a quantum leap. It works with step upon step. Small steps is the way to greatness. And that's why the Rashi, quoting the Gemara Menachos, says, no, slow, whoa, here's how you do it. You look at the Tcheles, the blue, and that's to remind you of the blue of the sea, which is to remind you of the blue of the Shemai, and the Raki, which is to remind you, step by step, madrega by madrega, that's the way gradually a person have Sha'ifa's dream in color, have incredible aspirations, but that's the way to do it. And that's what we said in TMT from Reb Moshe. But perhaps based on the Kli Yakar, where we're trying to get that 2020 vision from our two spiritual eyes, perhaps we could explain, you know why all of those steps are needed? What did we just explain about the Ish? That what makes the Ish is he has the body that comes from the Eretz mixing with the Yam. And the Neshama of the soul, which comes from Shemayim. Isn't that each of these steps? The first thing that a person is to look at is the Tcheles, the wool, the string. Where does that wool originally come from? That comes from the earth, from the Eretz. And then when you see that, you're then supposed to think of the blue of the Yam. That's the next level. And then after the blue of the Yam, what does it say you're supposed to think of? The blue of the color of the Rakia, Shemayim. And then you come to the Kisei HaKavod. Maybe that's the pshat. The reason why you have to be in those three steps before you come to the Kisei HaKavod is because those are the three steps that bring together the body and the soul, the guf and the neshama. First, I look at the tcheles. That comes from the eretz. That's to remind me of the blue found in the yam, which is in turn to remind me of the blue in the Shemayim. I have the aleph of the eretz, the yud of the yam, the shin of Shemayim. Now that I'm an ish, I'm by the Kisei HaKavod, and I could properly serve my Creator. That might be why you need those steps specifically. Multiple steps, because the way you do it is in small steps, madrega upon madrega. But maybe specifically those steps, because the first one is to the Eretz, the next one's to the Yam, the next one's to the Shemayim, and then you're standing by the Kisei HaKavod. Now you can serve Hashem, and you remain in Ish, but make sure, Lechasa Einoi, that your eye doesn't diminish. There is a pshat that we said this past Shabbos in Pirkei Avos. I know it's a little bit funny to repeat it for two reasons. We just said it in Pirkei Avos, why is it being repeated a few days later? Secondly, it's from last week's parak, not this week. I'm repeating it because I think that it's a very powerful, truthful pshat. And also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to be mechadish. I didn't see it anywhere, but it's a pshat that I thought of. I believe it's my own chiddush, and therefore I feel especially happy to share it with you. But I do think it ties fabulously well into the topic that we're developing and the theme that we're working on, leaving here with a better understanding of having 2020 vision, not only physically, but of course, I'm referring to spiritually. And this is what we said in Pirkei Avos. There's a Mishnah that says last week in Perek Gimel, in this Siddur, it's Gimel, Mishnah Tesvov. Malbim Pnei Chaver Berabim. We should shake just hearing those words. Malbim Pnei Chaver Berabim. Someone who humiliates and embarrasses not just anybody, but Pnei Chaveri, a friend, the rabbin, publicly. A few words later, the Mishnah says, and I quote, "Afal pi sheyesh biyadei Taira u'masim tovim," even though he has Taira and masim tovim, "ein loy chelek loylam haba." Merav Rabbi said, if you're hearing the words coming out of my mouth, listen carefully. Never be malbim Pnei Chaveri b'rabbin, period. Clear? But there was something about the Mishnah that caught my attention. It very strikingly says, "Afal pi sheyesh biyadei Taira," even though this person learns and possesses Taira, "ein lo chelek leilam haba." He has no chelek in leilam haba. I had two questions, but I really believe one answers the other. The first glaring question I had was, Hamalbim, maybe we won't think it's such a good question, but I think it's worthy to be asked, at least a bit. Hamalbim Pnei Chaver B'Rabim, somebody who embarrasses somebody publicly, it would seem like that person, it says, Apo Pisha Yesh B'Yadei Taira, even though he possesses Taira, I don't know, I'd like to believe that somebody who possesses Taira and learns Taira and is involved in Taira would not be Malbim Pnei Chaver B'Rabim. So what, pray tell, does the Mishnah mean? Amalbim Pnei Chaver B'Rabim, somebody who embarrasses a person, I don't know, once, however many times he does it, Avo Pishi Yesh B'Yadei Teir, even though he possesses Teir and learns Teir, and Teir is a part of him, Ein Lo Chelek Leilam Haba. Well, how much could Teir be a part of him if he embarrasses a person publicly. And question number two, I wasn't sure that I understood the phraseology of these words. Alpo pishiyesh biyadai Torah? Wouldn't you think grammar, alpidikta, couldn't it say and shouldn't it say, Alpo pishiyesh Torah biyadai? Alpo pishiyesh Torah biyadai? It doesn't say that. It says, Alpo pishiyesh biyadai Torah. Now, you may tell me linguistically they both mean the same thing, but they have to be different in Hebrew. Why does it say, Alpo pishiyesh biyadai Torah? Wouldn't it be a smoother flow and natural progression to say, Alpo pishiyesh Torah biyadai? A number of weeks ago, we gave an explanation on the Yad, but in this context, I want to explain it a bit differently. My father, Zatzal, used to speak about the importance of keeping your priorities straight. It says in the Gemara in Sukkah that if you wanted to see the greatest simcha by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you watched our great leaders juggle. And he asked the question, juggling is wonderful, but there's no simcha like watching people juggle? Eight torches is extraordinary, but there's no joy like that. So he used to explain, it wasn't only that they juggled eight torches. They taught us to juggle priorities. Keep the ikar, and the tafel. And there is no joy like when a person correctly learns to juggle their priorities. Unfortunately, it's somewhat becoming a lost art. With the fact that there are so many things grabbing our attention, and yes, I've said countless times, especially with the advances of certain parts of modern technology, that we become so busy and busy and busy and busy and busy and busy and sometimes totally unrecognizable to those in our family who are nearest and dearest. We have sometimes made the ikar the tafel and the tafel the ikar. And when a person learns in their daily life how to juggle their priorities correctly, my avodas Hashem, my family, etc., there is no simcha like that. And he spoke out many times the importance of remembering to keep the ikar what it should be and the proper priorities. With that in mind, let's go to a pshat that we've said many times from the great Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. In English, what goes first? The adjective and the noun. Big child, small boy, red fish. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's just the opposite. In Lashon HaKodesh, I have the noun, then the adjective, Bayis Gadol, Yelev Katan. So he used to famously say, if that's the case, asked the Pshat Gafai, although when in Sefer Devarim the Torah is described, in English it's called a fiery law. Okay, the adjective is before the noun. But then why in Lashon HaKodesh is the Torah referred to as Eish Dos? If we just get countless examples that the noun comes first, Bayis Gadol, Yelev Katan, then it should say Dos Eish, Dos Eish. First you have the fact that there's a noun, it's a law, it's a book of law, and then there's the fire, which is the adjective. So why, pray tell, is Torah described as Eish Dos? If the noun goes first, it should be Dos Eish, Eish being the adjective. Rav Shraga Feivel used to say so powerfully, Oi, Rabbeisai, Rabbeisai, Eish, fire, is not merely an adjective. Eish is not like a side order that comes with the main dish. Eish has to be your noun. Eish has to be your essence. That fire, that brand, that passion, that hislavas. So that's why the Torah is called Eish Dos. We ask the question, why is Eish in the slot of the noun? Because that is our noun, that is our essence, that is our mahus. How many countless times have we spoken about the importance of the fire, the passion, the brand, the hislavas? Ah, Eish is not merely a description. It is who we must be in our essence and our noun. With that having been said, maybe we now answer our two questions that I posed on the Mishnah. Let's answer the second one first, and then the first one second. The last question we just asked is, why does it say, Afal pi sheyesh biyadai Torah? Shouldn't it say, Afal pi sheyesh Torah biyadai? Remember that question we asked less than 5 minutes ago? I think they answered very beautifully. Torah, of course, represents the priority, my ikkar, the spiritual, my quest in life. Biyadai is very often, the yad represents your parnasa. You do dealings with your yad, money with your yad. Yad represents your parnasa, if you will, the gashmius, the materialism. Moirai v'rabbeisai, between the two, obviously, our ikar must be the Torah, and of course, even if a person has to work or work whatever amount it is, but they always remember why they're working, but it still remains the Torah. It can never overtake them. It can never become who they are. It can never become that the yad, your parnosa, your materialism, your gashmis becomes who you are. It can never be that way. So maybe that's the pshat. This person, we asked a question, the first one was, how could somebody with Torah be malvin pnei chaveru b'rabim, embarrass someone publicly? Maybe the answer is because it says we're dealing with someone, apo pi sheyesh biyadai Torah. In other words, which was put in the slot of the noun? The yad, the gashmias. And which was put in the slot of the adjective, the mere description? Torah. It could never be that way. We have to make sure sheyesh Torah biyadai. Torah biyadai. Torah biyadai means that what's in the slot of the noun? What's our essence? What's our mahus? Torah. Biyadai, the gashmius, the materialism, the wealth, that which Hashem allows us to have, that remains the tafel. It can never overtake us and become who we are. A person has to strive to be Torah biyadai. Meir v'rabbeisai, Torah better be in the slot of the noun, and biyadai after in the slot of the adjective. What does this person have, says the Mishnah? Afal pi sheyesh biyadai Torah. Biyadai Torah, meaning to say, what's his noun? What's his essence? What's his whole being in Mahus? The parnasa, the wealth, the gashmius, the materialism, and on and on and on. And he unfortunately only has Torah, I'm sorry to say, as an adjective, as an aside, as a tofel, as a mere description. Such a person who mixes up their priorities, it's possible that they'll end up being malbim pnei chaveru b'rabim. I thought about this chiddush this past Shabbos, and I said it because I think it's powerful, and I believe it's the truth. And as I said, I was happy that Hashem, I was so grateful that Hashem allowed me to think of that chiddush. Someone who has in the slot of the noun, biyadai, and the Torah is merely a tuffel, a side adjective, a side order, that person, unfortunately, who has it backwards, who has made the ikar, the tuffel, the ikar, he may eventually be malvin pnei chaveru b'rabim. But a person who is sheyesh Torah biyadai, which means that the slot of the noun and the mahus and the essence, this Torah and the yad, which a person needs, but that the parnasa, the materialism, the gashmius is used to help you, but it's only an adjective, it doesn't take over who you become. That person, the Ezra Hashem, should and must have such refined midas and character that they will not be malvin pnei chaveru b'rabim. And so we have to strive to be not someone who is biyadai Torah, but Torah biyadai. That's a person who keeps the ikar, and the tafel. Just asking you, after this year, ask yourselves, do we at all mix up our priorities and juggle incorrectly? Because we have an opportunity to get it right and make the Torah, the ikar, the yad, the tafel. Those things in our life that should remain the ikar must, and the tafel shouldn't be more than that. When a person does that, they're able to become that ish. That ish that I referenced, that's why there are the three steps by Tzitzis. The first, see the tcheles of the Eretz, then the blue of the Yam, finally the blue of the Shemayim, and that ish is now ready for Avodas Hashem. When a person, I believe, does these steps, juggles their priorities, keeps the ikar, tries each and every day to the best of their ability to stay focused. I mentioned it's a challenge each and every day, but the beauty is Hashem allows you. I think that's what they said. That's why today is called the present, because it's an extraordinary present where we could get it right. The fact that I didn't previously doesn't mean that I can't today, tomorrow, and try my hardest in the future. When a person does that, they're bringing their guf and their neshama together, the body and the soul, the guf of the Eretz and the Yam, the soul, the neshama of Shemayim, that becomes the Ish. That Ish stands before Hashem, but does it and remains humble even amongst the Adam. I hope, Ezra's Hashem, we end as we started. What led Kairach to what he did? Itato Eino, his eye led him astray. He had the eye of realizing the significance and greatness and awesomeness of Hashem, his creator, but he allowed that to get in the way of the spiritual eye of his own insignificance. Moshe Rabbeinu, conversely, the opposite end of the spectrum, about him that says on the day he was 120, Lechosa Enoi, as great as he became, as great as he became, Lechom Navi B'Yisrael Kemaisha, he still remained Ish Anav Ma'id. In other words, that eye of the insignificance, knowing your place and knowing who you are, didn't diminish at all. May we be Zaycha to have the health physically, the health spiritually, to be able to use our two eyes properly in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense, to be able to lead her with a greater appreciation of what it means to use the one eye for the greatness of our Creator, and at the same time to be able to remember our own insignificance. We should be zeicha to keep steiging as an ish, and yes, the challenge we have each and every day to keep our priorities. The ikar, the tuffle, the tuffle. Maybe it could be said about us that one of the greatest things we could accomplish in our sojourn in this world is we'll become a person that is Torah b'yaday. Be'ezus Hashem.